is the title given in my Bible to this passage in the Gospel of John. And that is what happens, of course. Jesus died. For us, that seems a bit like history. 2,000 years ago and a couple of weeks ago. Not so much history for them at that time, I wouldn't imagine. Jesus has already appeared to a few different groupings of his friends and followers. One more in a series, Jesus appears among them today and wishes them peace. Peace for their lives, for their grief, peace for their fear, peace for whatever it is that requires peace. They're still terrified, and he asks them why. And before they have a chance to process why Jesus is asking such a weird question, wouldn't it be obvious? While they are still startled and disbelieving, Jesus asks if they have anything to eat, and they give him some fish, which he eats. Life meets confusion, and life wins. I wonder what it would be like if Jesus appeared to us, to little groups of us, two or three at a time, to Vestry maybe, or the Altar Guild, as we're busy in the boardroom with discussion about candles or flowers or budgets. To some of your households, maybe, as you're sitting at the dinner table or trying to balance your checkbooks or just playing with your kids or grandkids. What would it look like? How would Jesus' life meet ours? How would we get over being startled? If Jesus wandered into our lives out of the blue and offered us peace, where would we need it? Where would we send it, kind of, in our lives first? If Jesus asked for food in your houses, would you give him broiled fish or samosas or tea and toast? And once you'd all eaten, where would conversation go? How would it unfold? Jesus appears to his disciples. I think in some sense we all agree that somehow or other that it happens, that Jesus appears to his disciples. That is why we're here. Some of us, I would guess, might have stories that just like in those days would make our friends shake their heads. I've heard those stories sometimes, not from people here, but from others, of Jesus appearing on a hospital bed or in a room offering a hug, all sorts of things. People worry about their friends not believing them. They know their pastor or their church colleagues kind of would think they're crazy, but still sometimes I think things happen. God's presence and hope have a way of coming into a locked room. These days, I think most of us would also agree that usually when Jesus appears in some way or other, it happens through us. One of us speaking hope so that someone else knows it's true. One of us, Jesus' friends or followers, sharing food or kindness. I think sometimes it happens when someone comes to the church door during the week looking for food, and they go home with some Kraft dinner or maybe some baby wipes. It's amazing what can bring hope, depending on the day. I think, too, it can happen in other ways. The diocese, as you might or might not know, is working at starting a project with the Food Grains Bank. A farmer is given money for seed and fertilizer. The farmer gives land and labor. Churches keep the energy going by having events to raise money and awareness. Last night at St. Paul's Fort Garry, they had a pub night to raise some money and awareness. It was fun. And to tell you the truth, Paul and I probably would not have gone, except that Jeff Woodcroft, the priest there, and Jennifer, his wife, who's also a priest, invited us. It was kind of more hope and more life, just getting these phone calls out of the blue. God's presence being spread around. At the beginning of this gospel from Luke, Jesus begins by speaking peace and telling his followers not to be afraid. He reminds them of how life conquered death, how life won. And you know, he reminds them not with a sermon, but just by showing up in their house. He reminds them that repentance and forgiveness are to be proclaimed as good news with them, those ordinary human people, fishermen, maybe businesswomen, friends, as witnesses to the fact. Good news, the gifts that God gives, give life. That is Jesus' message. The fact is that the gospel is good news. It's love wandering into a room where everyone is afraid of something. And you know, this would be a room like that, right? We're all afraid of something. It's about God bringing abundant life, celebration into our world, which is sometimes cold, so long past when we want it to be spring. God brings good news, even if it's in sunshine. The gospel is good news, a new beginning every day. We wake up, a new day. Every time we mess up, a new beginning. It's good news that we can risk it every time we have a new idea and wonder if we should try or just not bother. Every time our kids or neighbors or friends or whoever do something that is good for the world, that is God's good news. And the gospel is good news spoken in a word or a hug or a pot of soup, a handshake if you're an introvert. Every time something dreadful happens from which we wonder if we can recover. A lot of us probably know that the word gospel means good news. But to know it within ourselves, to feel it, to kind of consider where it is happening around us, that is something different. At Easter, I think more than any other time, we remind ourselves of that good news. We look for it. We stand tall and raise our heads, and we look not just for the rising sun that means it's spring, but for the hope and life that God gives. We did it Easter Sunday when we put a bunch of flowers on the cross. We did it last week and this week. I don't know what will happen with those crocuses. Maybe nothing, but we're looking anyway. In a few weeks, we will do it with an Earth Day festival, and next week we'll probably do it as we say prayers for Earth Day. But the hope is the same. It's all about God giving life, new life where we need it the most. So it is good for all of us to be here, to hear the good news. I don't know if today, anyway, like the last couple of weeks, some of you might have noticed that we didn't have a confession at the beginning of our worship service. My confession now is that it wasn't an accident, but I should have told you, so there you go. It is an Easter thing, a recognition of Jesus' words of peace when he walks into the room. The first thing he says, of Jesus wondering why on earth his disciples are afraid, just being there and offering good news. Of Jesus coming to share life and love and good news with his friends when they thought there was no hope. And him doing it again and again and again and again, if you read through the Gospels, uninvited. Sometimes I think it is good for us to remember that the good news comes uninvited. It just comes. It doesn't depend on us. God's grace comes into a locked room and breathes peace. And there is forgiveness all around that we didn't even ask for. That is part of God's good news. And when we eat with Jesus like today, it won't be fish like it was in the gospel, but it will be bread and wine. When Jesus stays for a meal like Jesus does today, it just cements the whole thing. The Eucharist, thanksgiving, forgiveness, celebration, peace. It all goes together. God is giving life in so many ways. Life and spring and celebration and good news and hope for ways that we don't even know we need it right now. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.